Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West, your show for all things kayak fishing in Oregon, Washington, California, and beyond. Now, here's your host, Isaac the Nothing Miller.
Hey folks, this is Isaac the Nothing Miller. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio West, the only online broadcast and dedicated to the kayak fishing in the West Coast. We're talking Oregon, Washington, California, Alaska, Baja, Mexico, you name it. That's us. You can find Kayak Fishing Radio at kayakfishingradio.com. We're also on Facebook, Kayak Fishing Radio, Twitter, kayakfishingradio.com, without the I and the G. It's an odd one, but Twitter only lets you put so many letters up there. Anyway, tonight we have Portland, Oregon-based Jeff Anderson. Jeff is a Hobie Pro. He's on the Next Adventure kayak fishing team. Kayak Wars, he's on the Northwest Kayak Anglers 1 team, which is currently the number one team on the West Coast the last time I looked. They're also sponsored by Scotty. Jeff's been tearing it up this year. He's been getting out fishing as much as he can anyway. He's got a lot of school to deal with. Jeff, how's it going?
Good, Isaac. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the invite.
Hey, thanks for being on the show. Now, you got a lot of – you haven't been out – as far as I can tell, you haven't been fishing quite as much as you did, say, maybe last year. Is that right?
Well, I have – I've been – actually, I've been doing quite a lot. I guess I'm guilty of not posting up a whole lot of reports. I've been doing a lot. I haven't been doing as well as some other years, but, you know, that's just how things go, I guess.
Right. Well, here we are in June, you know, halibut season, and I know by this point last year, I think you had a big halibut on the line a week after season, right?
Yeah, that was actually 2 years ago, yeah.
Was that 2 years ago? Okay.
Hooked that thing about a week and a half after they had closed the quotas. That was a little tough to deal with, but, you know, at least I got one to the boat. So
hey, there nice. You go. That is nice. And, you know, at least this year we've got a Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has been very generous, so far as I can tell, as far as halibut fishing goes this year. So hopefully we'll have some good stuff going on for the rest of this year.
Yeah, it looks like they did bump up the quotas just a little bit from previous years, so that's always good to see.
That is. So, Jeff, you've got one of the main reasons I brought you on tonight, you've got an awesome clinic coming up here in Portland. It's actually tomorrow night, a good introduction to kayak fishing. But before we get into that, let's tell the folks about you yourself. I know I've only known you for a couple of years now, and I know you fish here around Oregon. You're a super salty type of guy. You love saltwater fishing. But tell us more about your kayak fishing resume, as it were.
Sure. So I got started in kayak fishing down in San Diego. Started fishing around the kelp bed down there and in the bays. In San Diego Bay, that was one of my favorite spots, the San Diego Bay. I worked for a shop down there, OEX, OEX California. They do diving and kayaking and kayak fishing. So I started working for them. And then about a year or so after working for them, I started working also for Angler's Yak Shack. They built customized internal live wells for kayaks. So it was an internal live well system, fully internal, meaning that there was holes in the bottom of the boat that the intake and outflow fittings were through, and it was all a pretty slick design. And then after working for that for a little while, life changes a little bit, and other plans happen, and I moved up to Oregon with my wife and uh, st- started discovering kayaking up here, kayak fishing up here. I didn't even think it actually happened much up here, but sure enough, eventually I meet up with the Northwest Kayak Anglers, and then here we are today. So that's a little bit about what I'm doing.
See, I remember that live well setup the first time I met you, looking at that and trying to figure out what was going on. I just thought it was so bizarre to see holes at the bottom of the kayak.
Yeah.
You know, is that something that they still manufacture? Is that still out there?
You know, they don't. I believe that you may still be able to get the Kaya tank system is what it's called. You may still be able to get them through OEX. You may be able to get them. I'm not sure if they make them anymore. There were some complications, but I heard after I left the company there. But it is a pretty slick design. Jim Molesworth, the guy that that invented it and has the patent for it, it's pretty slick. It's made out of a PVC material bag that's glued together, and it's mounted inside either like a hatch of the kayak, and then you've got your tubes inside the kayak. One leading to the intake, which is an intake fitting, and it's mounted to a standard pump, like a bilge pump, and then the other one's mounted to an outflow, so it outflow fitting, so it fills up the tank and it cycles on and off on a timer switch. It fills up the tank and then it overflows into the outflow and goes right back out through the bottom of the kayak, and it's all internal and sealed, and we did a really good job of getting comfortable with drilling holes in the bottom of the boat. It was a little unusual at first, but once you do it a couple times and you realize that it's actually quite easy to get it done and done well so that you don't get any leaks.
That still just blows my mind. And, of course, using a live bait is kind of a phenomenon here in the Northwest, especially in Oregon, more so than Seattle, or in Washington, rather, that it's kind of unheard of. You know, Oregon prohibits a lot of live bait unless you're in salt water. And if you're in salt water, you have to catch it yourself. So it's not like you can go down the store, buy, a dozen minnows or whatever, or sardines, some herring. You can't just pick that up at the dock as you go out. So live bait tanks are kind of a standby oddball thing here.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, down in Southern California, you can, as you're in the harbors, you can go out and just pick up what they call a kayak scoop, of either sardines or anchovies, and you can have that good to go, and you can use that to go for halibut, California halibut in the bays, or you can head off to where the spots are offshore, maybe near the piers. And you can sabiki some herring or mackerel and whatnot. It's very, very common for people to do that down there, sardines and mackerel down there. But not so much up here. Yeah, I came up here and I didn't really have much of a use for it. There is other ways in to do it offshore in the salt. But yeah, I completely understand why Oregon doesn't have it legal for you to use live bait in the lakes. That's a pretty good call. In my opinion, but
freshwater lakes.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. Yeah, freshwater lakes is totally a good idea to stick with artificial, otherwise not alive baits. But yeah, like you were saying, in saltwater, especially for things like lingcod and halibut, there's times where live bait would definitely come in handy.
That's right. Yep, that's right. And that's the reason I still have a portable live well that sometimes I'll be able to take with me out off the coast. And so I kept that. I don't use the actual internal Kaya tank system anymore since I'm not using a kayak that was compatible with it. I'm no longer using a kayak that's compatible with that tank system. But I still have my portable tank system, so that's still an option. Yeah.
Yeah, and Hobie makes a killer tank well for guys that can use live baits that fits
in
the rear tank
I'm constantly amazed at how well that system works. They really, really have that down. It's an adjustable level bait tank, so you can adjust the level inside of it if you want a little bit more water or less water cycling inside there. It's very clean in that the intake sticks down through the scupper hole, and so it sort of primes itself as you move through the water.
Yeah.
It primes the pump and it starts cycling. It's a really, really slick design. I don't personally have one yet, but that's always something that I've got my eye on. So.
Oh, I'm sure you do. And, you know, right now would be a killer time to have it because I hear through the grapevine that the white sea bass are moving in down in the Southern California area. And I have a feeling you could fill that tank with some good baits for those sea bass.
That's exactly right. The awesome thing about using bait for sea bass, white sea bass too, as well, is usually if you're lucky, you'll get into some squid, and so you can even bring home some calamari, even if you don't get a white sea bass, and have some food that way. You can catch the little squid off the coast there, and that's a really nice thing to have. Even if you don't get a white sea bass, you still get to bring home some calamari. So,
oh hey, you can't lose either way. That's killer. So, Jeff, one of the main reasons that I brought you on the show tonight is you've got a class tomorrow night that it's new for Oregon, at least I know for sure. Washington has had a couple of classes similar to this brought on by Bryce Mullenkamp. But this is the first for Oregon. Tell us about this class you have going on tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's right. Bryce has been doing some courses up there, and I felt like it was only appropriate for Oregon to have something like that as well. I started doing little presentations down in Southern California, and I felt like it'd be a really important thing for the sport to have it here because there's a lot of people that are getting into the sport, and there's a lot of questions that everybody has. The site Northwest Kayak Anglers is growing by the day, and there's even more and more guests that are hanging out on the forum as opposed to registered users. So, I felt like it's time to get something like this going, and I'm really excited. This hopefully is not going to be just a one-time thing, so if people can't make it out for this, then they'll have another opportunity. Hopefully I can get it going at least every other month, possibly even more often. It's going to be great. This is going to be more of an introductory level, just kind of getting people familiar with the sport, getting people familiar with the basics, answering people's questions about what they have, about how to rig up a kayak, where they can go, and safety equipment. That's always going to be an important thing. So those are some of the things I'm going to be talking about tomorrow night.
Yeah, so this is pretty much a introduction to kayak fishing. Essence what it is.
It's going to be an introduction. We've got plans to do a more advanced kayak fishing class, but we're going to start off with the introductory class, and we'll get people going in the sport that way. The advanced class, hopefully we'll get that going maybe towards the end of summer, but we'll see.
That sounds awesome. And I know for sure that it's something that the Portland area has needed. I don't know, your class is tomorrow night at the Next Adventure Paddle Sports Center here in Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
And what surprises me is, I've been going to Next Adventure now right before I started kayak fishing, before I even paddled a kayak. I was in their store, and they always had a Hobie Pro Angler in the store. And here's the thing that's kind of odd. It was never the same pro angler. Every time I walked in, there was a boat that was new. And especially, in the case of the pro angler, that's a dedicated kayak, or not even, kayak by a stretch, but that's a dedicated fishing boat. And it never seemed to be the same one in the showroom every time I went in there. And here, the oddball part, how many times have you seen a pro angler on the water?
You know, I gotta like, be honest, I see what you're saying. You know, I haven't seen a lot of them on the water. Actually, I've hardly seen them in the water in Oregon at all. But I have seen them, you know, I've seen them on top of people's vehicles driving around. And you know, we actually even have a lot of people that come down from Washington to make their purchases
and
whatnot for obvious reasons. But, yeah, they have been starting to sell a lot of those lately. Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't seen as many on the water as I feel I should. But we're going to start seeing a lot more because Next Adventure is putting out a lot of boats now that the steam's starting to pick up on kayak fishing in the Portland area.
Yeah, you know, I'm eager to see more of these guys out on the water. And I have the feeling, you know, and the pro angler's not the only boat on the water. There's definitely, I mean, dozens of boats going in and out of that place and other stores around the Portland area. I just think it's kind of funny that I'm not seeing, when I'm on the water, all these guys out there. And I think a lot of it has to do, granted, we're all fishing different spots on any given day, but I think there's a lot, you know, I think there's a lot of guys that go out and buy a kayak, and it's like, okay, now what do I do? And I think that's where your class is going to come in and be perfect.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think that's a very, very good point. Like you mentioned, there is a lot of places in Oregon to go fish, and Portland seems to be the only one of the best places around to get into the kayaks because there's much more business here. I think that's what people are hopefully that's what people are waiting for, and hopefully this will give them what they need to start getting out on the water and using those kayaks more.
Hey, that's killer. That's great. So what are some of the topics your clinic is going to cover?
Right. So I'm going to talk a lot about different places in the Portland area that people can go. Not a whole lot, but, you know, I'm going to have a variety of options from lakes to rivers and also to places in the ocean that are nearby. I'm going to, you know, give a basic rundown of different types of presentations people use, different methods people use in those various areas to target fish. And now I'm going to talk a lot about, I'm going to make sure I talk about safety equipment because that's usually one of the first things out of my mouth when I'm talking to somebody about kayak fishing. Some people can maybe think it gets a little old, but I think it's incredibly important. So I'm going to talk a lot about that. I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to even throw in a little bit of the history of kayak fishing. I'm going to be going over, you know, things like equipment usage, different things that are key to help you in successful kayak fishing. Also various things like, reading the weather reports and things like that, special considerations to take into account when you're out in those various areas that I'm going to talk about that are close to Portland. So just as an idea, that's a few things I'll be talking about.
Hey, that sounds like a great class, you know. Just don't give away any of my fishing spots.
Yeah. No. Well, yours is safe and so are mine.
Yes. Of course, we all fish the same waters, so there really is no such thing as a secret spot anymore. But, hey, it sounds like a lot of good information, especially the safety aspects. Sounds like a killer show.
Yep,
and again,
I'm going to have a Q&A session afterwards, a presentation roughly about 30, 45 minutes. Then I'll do some Q&A afterwards so people can come out and ask all the questions they want, except for where those special fishing places are.
You're not giving out GPS coordinates then.
That's right.
All right. Hey, that's fine. You know, it sounds like a killer class, and I'm excited. This is really good stuff for the Portland area guys. Like we touched on, Jeff Mollenkamp does a couple of shows or clinics every year up in Seattle. He does the boat shows though, right?
He does. That's correct.
Yeah.
He does
cool.
The boat shows. So yeah, and he also does some clinics at different venues around in the Seattle area. I think he does a couple other places in that area. So yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, the only one I really knew about were the boat show ones. And again, your clinic is tomorrow night. Is that what time is it? Is that 6 o'clock?
Tomorrow night. Yeah, 7 o'clock. Seven o'clock, and then it's going. We got the place until 9 o'clock, but you know, we'll see how long it goes. It's going to be at the Next Adventure Paddle Sports Center. That's at 7th and Washington, Southeast 7th and Washington, at the intersection there, right where Sandy Boulevard starts out. And so, you know, hopefully people will bring their friends. It's going to be fun. Hopefully we'll get a big turnout.
That sounds awesome. You know, and I was there yesterday, and they were talking about hopefully having some beverage and food available. That's still, I think, still up in the air. That's up to the higher powers that be. But
sure, I can imagine that. Yeah,
you know, definitely. If you're anywhere near Portland, it's definitely worth going down to the Next Adventure Paddle Sports Center, if nothing else, to see what they have. You know, in the last 6 months, the Paddle Sports Center has picked up a lot of new gear. There's a lot of rigging options. I mean, even if you already have a kayak and you're just trying to get it set up for kayak fishing, it's the only place I know of that I can walk in, I can get pad eyes, I can get, you know, 4, 6, or 8-inch hatches that I can, you know, screw into my kayak, rivets. You know, they got a lot of the rigging gear that normally you'd have to buy online and wait to show up.
Yep. Yeah, it seems like every time I go in there, they've got something new, and I'm really impressed with how it's coming along, and I'm really thankful as well, because like you mentioned, buying everything online, that's essentially what I had to do. You know, coming up when I came up from San Diego, where there's kayak fishing shops. You know, they're not all over the place, but you know exactly where to go, and they have everything you need. But up here, you know, when I first moved up here, I had, you know, and I'm sure a lot of other people, we had to get everything online. And now Next Adventure is getting to the point where you pretty much got everything you need there. You got rod holders. Like you mentioned, you've got rigging. They even have things like, you know, brass clips and bungee cords and stuff like that. I mean, anything you want to rig your kayak with. And they can also order things, too. So if anybody has any questions on you know, something we don't have in stock, that's something that they can get in the shop as well. And you know, that's also good to have people coming in and asking for things that they don't carry as well, so that way they can get it on the shelves and keep it in stock more if we find out something that people are wanting more of.
Yeah, that's the big thing. You know, it's like I go in there now and it's like, oh yeah, I've been meaning to order online, you know, like I said, some pad eyes. You know, because they're an inexpensive item, but you can't find them at any other kayak shop, not sitting on the shelf, and they've got them hanging on their rack, and they're competitively priced. You're not going to be able to buy them anywhere online. Granted, you can buy them online for less money, but then you got to pay for shipping. So in the end,
right,
you end up paying more money. And the best part is, I'm lucky they're a whole 7 minutes away from my house, door to door, 7 minutes. So that ain't so bad.
Yeah, they're centrally located, pretty easy to get to, especially if you're coming from North or South Interstate 5 or, and also, you know, don't forget that Northwest Kayak Anglers Duke members do get 10% off as a discount there. So if you go there and you mention you're from Northwest Kayak Anglers, they can hook it up for you.
That is true. You know, they've always seemed to know that longer than I have. So I've never even mentioned it, the discount that is. So that's always been really cool. So you just recently, I'm going to change subjects a little bit here, just because it's a fun one. You just recently went with Hobie. How's it going?
Oh yeah, it's great. I mean, I started out pretty much how everybody else starts out, with kayak fishing, you know, in the paddle world. And you know, I paddled a pretty big kayak for a while at X Factor, and it was great because I love the stability and whatnot. But when it came to proper Oregon fishing, You know, it just it got pretty tiring pretty quick. You mentioned earlier I like being out in the ocean a lot, and you know, you're out in the ocean, you can easily all of a sudden be faced with a 2 mile an hour current, and you know, wind can pick up very, very quickly out there and just come out of nowhere. And if you're trying to jig and keep vertical out there on some reef that you just found a school of black rockfish on, it's almost impossible to stay where you are. And especially if you hook up into a fish, then you, by the time you deal with it and clip it or put it in the bag or whatever, you're already 100 yards away from where you caught the fish. That doesn't make any sense. So I finally got frustrated and talked to some of the people, and they got it put together, and we got everything put together with Next Adventure, and I'm just loving it. I'm loving it. I'm loving the Hobies. They've really got it figured out. Their engineering is just fantastic. I'm constantly amazed with all the new stuff they're coming out with. Like, for example, they've got their horizontal rod holder kits just came out with.
Yeah, those rod holders.
Little triangle thing that you just slip the tip of your rod into and you can lash it down. That's pretty nice, especially when you're launching into surf. And you don't have to worry about shimmying up to your hatch to get your rods out of the hatch and whatnot. So that's pretty slick.
I know those new rod holders were definitely something that those of us here, especially on the West Coast, needed. We'd go out into the surf on days that guys in Florida might be cowering in their basements.
Yeah.
You know. So it's great to see those out, and those can handle two or three rods, can't they?
They can handle. I know that they can handle two, depending on what kind of rods you have. You may be able to put three in there, but I would probably recommend no more than two. You know, if you have two of those, you know, vertical rod holder kits or horizontal rod holder kits, you know, that's four rods. You know, I know a lot
four
of people,
rods.
Most people that I go out with don't go out with more than four rods unless they're going out to La Jolla, California, and they've got every rod imaginable, and they have the La Jolla peacock going on, as they call it. So.
Yeah, see, and here it's rare if I go out with two rods, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So that's a killer new setup they have going. Of course, you've got my number two dream boat, the Hobie Revolution, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, and you've been having a good time getting that rigged and outfitted. I mean, you had your last kayak for several years, and so you had that boat dialed in. You knew everything about it.
That's right. Now, by the time I was done with that boat, you know, I have over 9 to 10 rod holders on it. It has a custom-made rod holder utility mount. It had the Kaya tank. It had the depth finder. It was a pretty nice kayak. But that's most of the fun for me for kayak fishing is rigging up the boats and thinking about different ways to rig things up and so. You know, it was almost like a kid in the candy store when I got a new kayak. So I get a whole new clean palette to start from, and I get to do all sorts of rigging and whatnot for it. I'm going to have that at the demonstration tomorrow, so people can maybe get some ideas for themselves for rigging up their kayaks or ask questions and whatnot. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun getting that boat set up.
That's excellent. You know, like I said, the Hobie Revolution's definitely high on my list of wish I had kayaks. So seeing yours tomorrow night's definitely going to be pretty cool to see. It's not very common that you see rigged out revolutions. Hobie Outbacks, dime a dozen. I'm not going to say dime a dozen. Let me back it. You know, a lot of guys have Hobie Outbacks and they're rigged for kayak fishing as that kayak's designed for. Same thing with the Pro Angler. You know, of course, it comes fully rigged to begin with. Just get
absolutely
in and go. But the Revolution is kind of – it's not per se a fishing kayak like you would see all the others. It doesn't come with rod holders. Does it even? I don't even know that it comes with a cup holder for sure.
Well, it's got a nice cup holder. It has a nice.
Oh, it does.
It can fit one of those big Nalgene bottles. One of those. I think they're a liter bottle or something like that. It's one of those liter. It's perfectly designed to fit one of those big Nalgene liter bottles. Or Hobie makes their own water bottles that size. But yeah, it fits nicely
perfect.
Right in there. Yep, that's right.
Okay, so it does have a bottle holder. That's awesome. That's good. What I liked about it was its dimensions. You know, it's 13 feet, 8 inches, give or take, and it's fairly sleek. So we're talking about a kayak that is suitable for small water or big water, because in my mind, anything from that 13 to 14 foot length is perfect for everything, and it's fairly narrow. I know it's narrower than my Ocean Kayak Trident 15, maybe just by a hair, but it's narrower.
Yeah,
it still has a lot of stability.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be plenty fast. You know, because it's long, it's narrow, it's going to be fast in the water. And if you're covering ground like most of us here on the West Coast, I think more guys need that kayak.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. It's got, you know, it's got the perfect dimension for it to be an all-around versatile boat. I mean, you know, I was out on a trout lake earlier today, and you know, it does really well in small lakes because it can be very maneuverable. I've taken out offshore. You know, recently I was out offshore a couple of miles chasing for halibut, and you know, even in sloppy water, you know, it still never feels like it's really going to buck me off like some of the more squirrely kayaks out there. And it still has plenty of room for rigging up your rod holders and whatnot, so you still have plenty of deck space. I think it's a great all-around kayak, and yeah, I think a lot of people should consider it more. And I get a lot of people that are current Hobie owners that feel like that might not be their next Hobie boat because either their Hobie boat is too big or too small or whatever, and this is just a really good in-between size, so it's a really good all-around versatile boat.
Yeah, you know, it is the Trident 13 of the Hobie world, where it's equally good in freshwater or saltwater. It's got, you know, it has the length to go the distance, and it's got the width to keep you stable. And it's a definitely, like I said, it's on my in my top three of wish I could have that kayak. So, and of course, you know, tomorrow night you'll have that kayak with you at Next Adventure Paddle Sports Center for your clinic. That's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to that. And naturally, I assume you're going to have that kayak at Depot Bay on Saturday, right?
That's right. I'll be rolling out of Depot Bay early in the morning in that kayak. That's for sure. Yep.
There you go. Of course, this Saturday is the Oregon Rockfish Classic. And to be honest, for the last 10 days, that's all I've been thinking about. The Oregon Rockfish Classic is the premier kayak fishing tournament here in the Pacific Northwest. It's like I said, it's Oregon. We base it out of Depot Bay. So if you're not if you're not comfortable with surf launches, the Oregon Rockfish Classic is done out of Depot Bay, which is a wonderful protected bay that you don't have to worry about the surf launch. You can have a, you know, 8-foot swell and you can paddle right on out. There's no waves to deal with, which is awesome. So, you know, granted, at 8 foot, the water gets kind of high, and you're going to have to deal with that swell. But, you don't have any waves crashing in your face. No breakers to worry about.
That's right. You do have to be careful. Yeah, I've been out there on an 8-foot day, and it's really nice. I mean, Most other places are completely off the you know, not even considering it, you know, in on an 8 foot day. But Depot Bay, that's still on the table. And yeah, you do have to be careful. It's still the ocean, and there are actually a couple of breakers out there that are right in the middle of the bay that can sneak up on you. But even on an 8 foot day, Depot Bay is still can be a good place to go and put fish on the table. That's right.
That it can. You know, the first time I went out of Depot Bay, I had had my kayak for, a month and a half. Probably shouldn't have gone out. It was a 6 to 8 foot day. I got out to the first buoy, which is about a half mile out from the hole, and the fog rolled in.
Yeah.
You know, and it was definitely, you know, I was in the right place, but I was not there at the right time. I was not outfitted like I should have been. I was wearing rain pants, for one. Very bad. Very bad idea. You know, I have two options now. I've got my waders, and I have my dry pants now. So I've got two options in that category. Actually, I came back once the fog lifted and I made it back in because I couldn't see the end of my kayak. The fog was so thick. Once I made it back in, got home, like, okay, I need a VHF radio. I need waders. I need, you know, need a dry suit, need dry top and waders. Definitely learned very quickly that as nice as the forecast might look, you do have to be prepared. But
absolutely right. That's right.
Yeah.
Because even as nice of a place as Depot Bay is to launch out of, it's like I said, it's still the ocean. You never turn your back on it, and you never want to underestimate it. So, you know, and I've been out there in nothing but rain gear before, and it's definitely not advisable. So, you know, you always want and you know, it's always a good idea. I would say I recommend to people that are in their first year of kayak fishing to never go out in the ocean alone. It's just not that great of an idea. I mean, sure, you can do it. You can get away with it. But is it the best idea? Absolutely not. So, the ocean can turn on you very quickly, and it's never anything to be taken lightly. That's for sure.
Yeah. You know, and that's definitely a mistake that I made a couple years ago. You know, like I said, I went out and I was like, oh yeah, it's a, you know, the NOAA, the North, you know, NOAA says, you know, it's supposed to be a slow swell. It's going to be a nice day. There's not going to be a lot of wind. So I was like, sweet, I'm going out. You know, everybody else is doing it. I'm going to go out there too. But see, everyone else has waders and a dry top or a dry suit. Everyone else has a VHF radio. They've got a safety flag on their kayak. I didn't even have that much at that point. Definitely learned a lot that trip. But Depot Bay, Oregon Rockfish Classic, we've got – there's over 40 folks coming out this year. My last count.
Is there over 40 now? I knew there was over 35. I didn't. I knew it was going to be getting into the high 30s. It's getting to be quite a deal. I believe it's at this point, it seems like it's doubling every year.
You know, and that's the way it has been. Is every year it hasn't been doubling, but I've looked at the numbers over the course of the last 3 years. It's gone up 50% every year.
Yeah.
So every year there's more and there's more and there's more. You know, and Depot Bay, like I said, is a great place. It's a great introductory place. Of course, the Northwest Kayak Anglers Group is a very welcoming group of guys and women. It's a great welcoming group of people. If it's your first trip out in the saltwater and you've got all the gear necessary, we'll get you out there. You know, if you've got a radio, you've got the necessary dry gear and safety equipment, there's no reason that we cannot get you out there and go fishing. So Last I looked, there was 41 or 43 people registered. We still got a few days to go. Actually, if you look at the list of registered people, I'm not even on there.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
And there's a slight request to that. I said, don't list me. I don't want my boss to know that I'm actually here when I'm calling in sick. So I'm off the list. So that's good. I'm, you know, got to make sure that he doesn't find out about this radio show. Otherwise, I'm in a lot of trouble. but at this point,
talking
we're pretty
too
good.
Much. You're talking too much.
back to Depot Bay and the Oregon Rockfish Classic. So this is the third year of the Oregon Rockfish Classic.
Fourth year.
Yeah. If consider the Pacific City Derby.
That's right. Right. Sure. Yeah. That's. I guess it depends on who you talk to. Some of the moderators will call it the fourth year. Some, you know, most everybody else will call it the third year. But
I understand that one too. Both ways, the first year, the Pacific City, and I'd love it, love to have it at Pacific City. Of course, you are very familiar with Pacific City as well as I as myself. There's not a whole lot of us, for whatever reason, that make it down to Depot Bay.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit further of a drive from Portland. Just a little bit further. And, you know, in my mind, if I had the ability to either go to Depot Bay or Pacific City, they're equal distance. If, let's say, they're equal distance from each other, I got to say I'd probably go to Pacific City myself. But Depot Bay is a great place to go, especially on those bigger days, that's for sure.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot more information out there about fishing out of Depot Bay. Do a Google search, Depot Bay Rockfish, and there is everything except exact GPS coordinates. There's the type of baits to use, how to rig your line, places you can go to fish. And I know I've regurgitated that information over the internet before, but like I said, I regurgitated it. There was information out there long before I came around.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of great fishing in around Depot Bay. I'm just kind of surprised there's not so many people exploiting that information, which I suppose is probably a good thing. I know the fishing there out of Depot Bay is really good. Like I said, you can Google search Depot Bay. You can get everything that you need to know to go fishing there.
Yep, it's pretty much, I would say it's very similar to a lot of, there's a lot of different places along the coastline that are very similar to Depot Bay and Pacific City. And the great thing about the ocean fishing, probably one of the reasons I like it so much, is that usually the same things will work no matter where you are on the Oregon coast. If you're at a rocky
That's
area,
true.
You pretty much can use the same thing. Whereas, you know, take, for example, salmon fishing, if for every different river system, you've got a whole different spectrum of colors to use and different techniques and whatnot, which can be frustrating. But that's why I love the ocean so much. It's so straightforward. You pretty much know what works, and what works one place will work in another place. That's what I like about it.
That's very true. That's a good point. You know, I never thought about that. Ocean fishing is ocean fishing, as opposed to Willamette fishing or Clackamas fishing or Sandy River fishing or,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of the list goes on. All the river fishing is definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
River to river, tide to tide, moon phase to moon phase, fish to fish. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
So, not wanting to delve into the deepest of minds, you got big plans for the ORC?
I usually start getting pretty tight-lipped around the week before the ORC.
I understand that. Totally.
So, yeah.
I can understand
but,
that.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be a great time. I'm really excited to see everybody there again. It's always a good time. Last year we had a great time. The year before that we had a great time. It's just a great great opportunity to get together with everybody. You get to meet new people that you know on the site, but you haven't put a face to the name yet. It's really great. There's all sorts of great people. We always have good food, always good conversation, and I look forward to it every year. It's really fun. It's almost like another family reunion you go to.
That's a good point. It is a lot like a family reunion. Of course, Northwest Kayak Anglers all but rents out the Chinook Bend RV Resort.
Pretty much, yeah.
There's going to be a...
That's for sure.
Yeah, there's a few trailers there, but it's pretty much this time of year, it's only going to be us kayak anglers. We're going to have a big bonfire, plenty of cooking space, grilling space, frying space, as we had last year. A lot of good fish fry going on. And, just sitting around, it's good family-friendly atmosphere, sitting by the river. It's really hard to beat. I love that aspect of the Oregon Rockfish Classic. And this year we've got a good fish fry, fish tacos this year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fish taco year. That's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited because this year we have another fishmonger on hand, Finnegan. So I don't have to do all the cutting like I did last year.
There you go. Yeah.
So that's always a bonus. But yeah, there's always good food. It's almost Iron Chef worthy, in my opinion. People going out and just having a good time sitting around the campfire when we're not fishing. Big old bonfire. Roast marshmallows, fry fish, drink beers, talk fishing. You really can't beat that. And all that information, all that information, of course, is on Northwest Kayak Anglers. Is that .com? Well, they have .com, .org, Northwest Kayak Anglers.
Yep, NWKA.org. It'll also get you there. That's the short way.
NWKA.org. And it's northwestkayakanglers.com. It's the same place. Love that. I'll be honest. Last year, I went out at Depot Bay and headed straight north and fished the Government Point Reef.
Yep.
It's a great location. The reef itself extends out. There's the pull-off from the highway. There's a highway pull-off right there.
Pull-off. At Boiler Bay. Boiler Bay State Wayside, I believe it is. Yeah, that's right.
That's the one. Yeah, Boiler Bay. You can pull off right there. And then there's Government Point, and the reef extends off that point for about a mile and a half. And there's good fishing all along that point. Rockfish, lingcod, cavazon. Last year, I got out to the point, turned around, and there was a rainbow.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool thing to see. I got pictures of that. That was pretty nice.
Yep. And I think the same time you were getting pictures of that rainbow, I was busy catching my first fish of the day. But that just goes to show there are fish there. It's a great place to fish. It's about a 1 mile, 1.5 mile. It's a really short paddle from the launch site at Depot Bay.
It's actually a little longer. That's about 2 miles.
Is it really?
It's a little bit of a paddle, a little bit out of the way, but it can be worth it because that's a great place to go. You've got Boiler Bay, which is right near there, which there's plenty of shallow reefs, and you've also got, like you mentioned, the reef, the Government Point Reef that goes out for quite a ways off of that point there.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. My problem is I measure my distance from the first buoy.
Ah, there you go.
And the first buoy is 1.5 mile. So add a 0.5 mile to whatever I say, and that's what it really is. That's probably more appropriate. And, of course, there's plenty of fishing to the south. There's Otter Rock, if you want to go down there. Whale Cove. There's a lot of fishing down there. And
yeah,
there's
great fishing all up and down that coast. That's what's so great about that area is that there is, and that's why it's so great for a tournament, is because there are so many places to spread out, and there's places for everybody to go have their own little fishing spot. And there's great for especially cabazon. You know, if I ever need to go catch a cabazon, that's pretty much a great place to bet on getting good cabazon, because for some reason that's pretty much all everybody was catching last year was big cabazon. I was really impressed with how many big cabazon were caught last year. It was a really really good show of cabazon. That was great.
Yeah, I must have been the right place at the wrong place, because I did not see the big cabazon. But interestingly enough, last year's winner, Michael, who we had on Kayak Fishing Radio Episode 1, he won last year's Oregon Rockfish Classic, and he was fishing right next to the buoy. That's a half mile out. That's a half
mile out. That's pretty
remarkable.
I mean, I couldn't believe it when I got back to the launch, when he mentioned, you know, where he was fishing, and once I heard about what happened. I mean, he had, you know, number one and number two fish of the day. Everybody else spread out as far as they could, it seemed like. Here Michael is, just kind of goes right outside the hole, plunks his line, and he handily wins the tournament right there. That's pretty impressive.
5 minutes away.
Yeah.
Can't beat that. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of fishing right there in Depot Bay. There's the reef on the north end. There's the reef on the south end. I want to get a little bit of safety talk here. Because we're talking about the Oregon Rockfish Classic and we're talking saltwater fishing. Of course, that north and south reef can get treacherous. We had somebody turtle their kayak right there on the North Reef last year.
Yeah, yep. That was pretty interesting. I mean, I remember listening to all the VHF chatter, what was going on. Luckily, he was okay. But, yep, he just, you know, he got a little bit too close to that North Reef, and it's the same on the south as well. It's very easy to get blown onto those reefs because you've got the onshore breeze. If you want to sit on the ocean side of those reefs, it's very easy to kind of get in the zone and get distracted, and all of a sudden you realize you've got an 8-foot closeout wave right in front of you. It can get very ugly very, very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Like I said, luckily he was okay, but it just goes to show that you really need to pay attention to what you're doing when you're in that area, that right between the north or right around the north or south reef.
Yeah, he only lost a rod and reel or two, and so that's fortunate. That was it. He had his VHF radio with him. There was a lot of communication with the Coast Guard based there in Depot Bay. There was a lot of communication also between him and a lot of the charter boats going in and out of Depot Bay. So it's definitely a safe locality, especially if you have a VHF radio to communicate. But the interesting part is he's an experienced kayak angler, especially in those waters. He knows the Depot Bay area very well, and it just goes to show what can happen the moment you turn your back. You know,
He knows that area very well. Yeah, that's his home fishing area, that's true. It just goes to show you that you never want, no matter how experienced you are in an area, you never want to turn your back on the ocean. You always want to make sure you understand where you are and you know what nature around you is doing, because things can turn very quickly out on the ocean. So that's definitely the lesson he learned from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Important notes for Depot Bay. It's a protected bay carved out of the cliffs of the Oregon coast. You definitely need a VHF radio. You need to, of course, anybody with a VHF radio needs to monitor channel 16 at all times. But traffic in and out of Depot Bay need to announce either their departure or their arrival into Depot Bay on Channel 80 with the local harbor master. Channel 80, you know, just announce, hey, kayak angler outbound, kayaker coming back in, whatever. You definitely need to do that before you leave. And that's one of the reasons why everyone needs a VHF radio. And then also, before coming in or out of Depot Bay, you need to sound a horn blast, right?
That's right. They recommend a horn blast. And one of the good thing to have there is one of those air can, compressed air horns that are, you know, they look like an aerosol bottle with a big red horn on the end of it. That's a good thing to have. And another note about that, you know, you want to do one prolonged blast, which is, you know, you can, well, technically a prolonged blast would be about 5 or 6 seconds, but, you know, 3 to 4 seconds is usually good. And another thing to keep in mind is that the inbound traffic has the right of way. So if you announce you're about to head out and you hear somebody, you know, coming in, you need to hold your position because the inbound traffic always has the right of way. So you can't, that alleviates any confusion about, you know, if two boats are coming in at the same time, who needs to stand by and give way to the other boat. So that's a good thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, you know, that's a very, very excellent point. And that's something I always forget about, mostly because I haven't been in that situation. You know, yes, coming in or coming out, it is a 4 to 6 second horn blow. If you don't have an air horn, go to Walmart, Fred Meyer, Fisherman's Marine, Andy and Bax, and I think they even have them at Next Adventure. Get a little handheld air horn. It's a 4 to 6 second blast is what you have to do. You blast that off. Mm-hmm. You listen to hear if anybody else is coming in. You'll have that information on your radio or through a horn blast. You know, and then you go. Of course, Oregon Rockfish Classic also requires everyone has a PFD. That should be, I was going to say it is common sense, but it should be common sense because some people haven't figured it out yet.
Yep.
And the harbor master, if I remember correctly, has requested that everyone have a safety flag.
Yeah,
4 feet
actually,
tall.
We've made that required as part of the ORC. Obviously, PFD, that's required by the Coast Guard, but the safety flag, we're going to have that as a requirement to compete in the ORC. The harbor master recommended it. The higher ups on the Northwest Kayak Angler site thought it was a good idea. So that's now part of the tournament rules, that you need to be flying a safety flag if you're heading out of Depot Bay, because it's very, very easy for a boater to lose a kayaker, lose sight of a kayaker that has slipped between slipped into the trough of swells. It's very
yeah.
easy for somebody to do that. And keeping that flag, making sure you have as long and high up of the flag as possible, really, really makes you visible out there. And I've talked to several boaters that really appreciate kayak anglers having the flag, not just at Depot Bay. I've talked to people at Pacific City as well, and that's one of the best things, one of the biggest recommendations I get from power boaters is that, you know, people fly those flags because it's the swells can hide kayak anglers very easily.
That they can, you know, and I've had a safety flag on my kayak for a couple of years now. I know, actually, I've been told by other boaters that I'm actually good friends with that the flag is not tall enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm running a 3.5-4 foot tall flag, but they've lost me before. Anyway, that's a totally different story. But I am, let me just get out there to say, I'm working on getting a commercially built, taller safety flag out there with a light, somewhere in the 6-foot neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the commercially made ones are less than 4 foot tall. Mine stands 4 foot, four and a half feet off my kayak, and it still disappears.
Yep.
But yeah,
I went to grab one of the fiberglass poles that they make for ATVs for buggies and whatnot. That's what I have, and it's the longest ones that I've seen people have are the fiberglass whip poles that come that are made for ATVs, and those ones really, really stand up there. And I see people with safety flags, and it's great that they have one, but a lot of the time when I see them have one, they're only about just above their head level, and doesn't really do much good, because if your head is underneath, is ducked into the trough of a swell, then chances are your flag's ducked beneath there as well. So getting that flag up there as high as you possibly can, and it can be very easy to do, to get recommendations for making a flag that's very visible. And, anybody can head over to Northwest Kayak Anglers. There's plenty of examples in our drilling and cutting forum where people put their construction of their homemade flags or whatnot. It can be very easy to slap one together, so it's the point where it can be very effective, yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's very inexpensive. What do you need? You need to go to your local Honda shop, get a flag for their four-wheeler, go down to Walmart, get a pool noodle and some zip ties, and you've got a very effective floating safety flag.
Sure.
Right
sure.
there. For there you can do it for less than $20.
Yep, a lot
right
of people
there.
A lot of people like to use a half milk crate on the back of their kayak. That does a great job of also providing a storage. Ability gives you a little bit of storage space to throw things in. But that also makes it extremely easy to put a flag on, because then all you have to do is just literally you can zip tie a safety flag on there, or you can zip tie a rod holder onto that milk crate where you can then put your safety flag in. It can be very, very easy to do, and it's a very important step to ensuring your safety out in the water.
Absolutely. So I'm going to wrap things up right here. Thank you, Jeff, for joining us tonight. Of course, you've got a great introduction to kayak fishing clinic tomorrow night at the Next Adventure Paddle Sports Center here in Portland, Oregon. And that's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, right?
That's right. Yep, 7 o'clock, Southeast 7th in Washington, Next Adventure Paddle Center. You can also go to Next Adventure. I believe it's nextadventure.net. Or you can Google Next Adventure Portland, and you can find the Paddle Sports Center. And that has all the information that you need to know to get there and to figure out what's going on for that tomorrow night. Yeah.
Right. They're also on Twitter at Deke and Brian. That's Brian with a Y. They're on Twitter. They're on Facebook as well as Next Adventure. Jeff, if anybody wants to find you on the Internet, how can they do so?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time on Northwest Kayak Anglers board. I'm pretty much on there every day, so if anybody wants to contact me, that's usually the best way to do so. Is to hit up that site. I've also got a YouTube channel. I answer questions on the YouTube channel as well, and my username on that is Mega Pickles, like a pickle, like a cucumber, Mega Pickles. Yeah, it's like a dill pickle, Mega Pickles. That's my channel on YouTube. I answer questions on that as well, and I've got my videos up on that channel, and so people can go check them out. But, yeah, probably the best way to contact me is on the Kayak Angler site, because I'm pretty much on there every day. So,
awesome.
Questions are always welcome there.
Yeah, and that's your username, of course, on the Northwest Kayak Angler site is Rockfish. And
that's right.
R-A-W-K. I love the spelling myself. I've been doing it that way for 10 or 15 years. R-A-W-K-F-I-S-H. Rockfish. Kind of a English accent to that.
Yeah.
So, yep, that's Rockfish on Northwest Kayak Anglers. Hey, folks, I'm Isaac the Nothing Miller. I'm also on Northwest Kayak Anglers. You guessed it, the Nothing, that's me. I'm also on Twitter, the underscore Nothing. Facebook is the same thing. You can find me on Facebook, the underscore Nothing. And, of course, naturally, we have the Kayak Fishing Radio West show here on kayakfishingradio.com. Hey, Jeff, you know what? I thank you a lot for joining me tonight.
Hey, thanks a lot, Isaac. It's been a lot of fun. Hey, and I also wanted to point out that I've got a I totally forgot, but you reminded me. I've got a Facebook as well. Obviously, everybody does these days, but mine's pretty easy to remember. It's facebook.com/kayakfisher. So
that's
right. A pretty easy way to contact me as well.
That's right. I remember making note of that today and didn't write it down, but I did see that you had Kayak Fisher. Gotta love those custom names that are on Facebook, especially if you got there early enough.
Yep. Hey, thanks a lot. I think it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, likewise. Thanks for joining us.
All right, take care.
Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West, your show for all things.